chapter 3. John chapter 3 is we're going to do a special message this morning speaking about God's love. If you came this morning without a Bible, raise your hand good and high. Gentlemen, we'll hand them to you so you can follow along with us. John chapter 3. Apologize for my voice. I've been fighting a cold, as many of us have these days. So I figured I better get here or Pastor RJ would never talk to me again. So we'll get scratchy through it. John chapter 3. I think it's perfect that Valentine's fell on a Sunday. What better place to celebrate love than in church and with other people, for we know God is love. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask Him to bless this time as we study His Word. Father, we thank You for the Scriptures. We thank You for our Bibles. We thank You, God, that we don't have to guess or wonder or discover by accident who You are and what You desire of us. Lord, You've given us a book that clearly outlines for us what You want us to do, who You want us to be, and who You want us to reach. And I pray as we study Your Word this morning, as always, God, that it would not just be words on a page, that these words would come off these pages, come into our minds, come into our hearts, be lived out in our lives. Lord, we want to be obedient to the Scriptures. We want to follow what Your Word says and do what Your Word says. And we admit, God, very plainly, that it's not always easy. It's not always easy to take and walk this truth. It can challenge us. It can stretch us. But Lord, when we do, we are so blessed. And we want to honor You this morning. So we thank You, God, that on this Valentine, we are acknowledging You as our greatest love. And we thank You for the love that You have for us. And we thank You that because You love us, we love You and love others. And I pray that Your love would abound in this place and that we here this morning would receive that love and then share that love with others. So bless Your time and Your Word as we study, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want you to think about this for a minute. As I was studying this week, love leads. Love leads. There's an opportunity for us to, who love God and who we've been receiving the love from God, have an opportunity to lead. And when I say that, it's like you don't just wait for love to happen. You don't just go through your life and experience God's love here and there. No, you embrace it and you grab onto it. And once God leads that love in your life, you wouldn't need to lead that love in others' lives. And we sometimes forget that, I think, as Christians. Sometimes we forget. We think sometimes love is just a feeling. Love is not a feeling, is it? Love is a verb. Love is an action. Love is something that you go and you do. And for some of us in this room who are married, sometimes we forget that as spouses. Sometimes we forget to go out and do something to show our spouse we love them. I've been married almost 27 years, and you can easily get into a routine, easily get into just that rut of, yeah, we love each other. Yeah, there's a document that says we're married, and we must love each other. But there's those times where we have to go out of our way and to lead in love to show others we love them. And we're going to look at that this morning. Love is an action. Love is a verb. Love is something that we must do. I'm blessed by my wife who's always thinking of ways to show me that she loves me. And every time I get a card in the mail from her for no reason, no birthday, no holiday, she's just a card that says, I love you. I'm thinking about you. Man, talk about conviction. I should be doing that for her. I should be doing those things for her. I should be finding ways to love on her. And I do, don't get me wrong. Our relationship is great. In fact, my wife is in L.A. today, and so we're celebrating Valentine's separately. Sad face. Aw. Poor Pastor Raw. You know, Lou and I talked yesterday, and I talked about this because when it comes to Valentine's, you know, I remember when we were kids. Remember when you were a kid in school? Did your teacher tell you, bring a Valentine for that special someone? What a big deal it was. Do you ever remember any of that? I don't know why I remember this. It's like I remember making something for a girl, and it's like, oh, we were so excited to give that to him. And my wife and I were talking about how excited we are to love each other. We love each other every day. And I certainly hope that's the case for you guys too. Valentine certainly is a holiday, yeah, all the candy, all the stuff that we buy for each other, but every single day, take the opportunity to tell someone in your life you love them. Your spouse, your kids, your friends, maybe your boss, maybe your employees, telling people you care, showing people that you care. That's leading in love. That's being mindful of someone that's in your life that needs to hear the love of God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Loving the love of God. We know the verse, right? We love him because he first loved us. We love others because of God. See, the world looks out there and says, oh, we love because it's the right thing to do, or that's what the world is. It's that emotional attachment. How many of us realize that sometimes the emotional attachment goes away and then you have to choose to love your spouse? You have to choose to love others. It's a choice, especially when things get difficult. When Lou and I first got married, this just came to me. When Lou and I first got married, her mom got sick very quickly. And it was a very devastating time in our lives, in our marriage. And I remember my wife looking to me going, she goes, I'm so sorry, this is not what you bought into. And I looked at her, I said, whatever God brings, well, at that time it wasn't God, but whatever came into my life, I wasn't going to, whatever it is. I didn't buy into this because I wanted it to be perfect. Hey, we're going to do life together. And even before I was a believer, it was a commitment in our relationship to fight through the difficult times. How many of us know that through the difficult times, that's when love really needs to kick in? When you don't feel like loving. When you don't feel like, you know, all the wish you, you know, whatever the girls talk about stuff. Don't read those romance novels, please. They just set you up for failure. But guys, we need to be those husbands. Wives, we need to be those wives that show our spouses and show other people. And Christians, do we not need to show other people we love? Do we not need to show other people that we love because we've been loved by God in a powerful way? Love is of God. Love comes from God. What is the love of God mean to you? Jacob, would you put that up there, the question? The love of God is blank. What would the word be for you right now? Unconditional love, good. Let's participate. I like that. What's that? All-encompassing. I love that. Love is everything. Everlasting. Perfect. Faithful. True. Undescribable. Do you see what we're talking about here? When we talk about the love of God, I don't think this can ever stop. I don't think we can ever stop giving an attribute to what love, the love of God is. Because it's different for all of us. We've experienced it in different ways, and we will continue to experience it in different ways. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that love doesn't just come into a rut. Love doesn't just come one way. No, God is unconditional love for us, and it's constantly changing. Probably every year, probably every day, every week, God is showing you a new way that he can love you. Love is not, and actually loving God is not just worshiping him, is it? No, it's living for him. So the love of God for you, this is what it means. Have you personally experienced God's love in your life? I would imagine every single one of us would say yes. What are the ways we experience it? Is it through answered prayer? Certainly. Is it through blessings in our lives? Of course. But when we talk about the love of God, how is it an experience in your life? How have you experienced God's love? Because that's why he saved you, right? Wanted to show you that he loved you. He continues to want to show you he loves you. See, today is Valentine's Day, right? And what a great way for us to think about how much we love God and how much he loves us. But I wrote this down. Today is a day to celebrate and show those closest to you how much you love them. To remember the love you have shared over the years. To look to the future and the future experiences you will enjoy together. That's what Valentine's is, a reminder that we love each other. And how we have loved each other and how we will. You know, when my wife and I used to write cards, just so thankful for all that God has done in our past and look forward to what God is going to do in the future. It's Valentine's Day that helps us remember this. And I was at Walgreens, I think it was Thursday or Friday. Two young boys, I don't bad at ages, I don't know, maybe 13, 14-year-olds. Two of them stand at the end of the counter, or one of those end gap, you know, end things on the aisle, holding this big heart box of Valentine's candy. And it just struck me as these two kids are looking at it, they're looking at the box, they're looking at each other, I'm thinking, is this for their mom? You know, is it for their teacher? Did the teacher say, bring something nice to school tomorrow? Or was it for a special girl? I don't know, but what a big box, right? When we get the big box, the big heart, then we're showing someone that we love them a lot, right? The things that we can do for you. Gosh, I just love that picture of these two kids looking at this big box. I don't know if we can afford it, but boy, this would be cool to be able to give mom. It's probably mom's money that's going to pay for it, right? But they're thinking about it. And I don't know, maybe some of you here this morning are going, oh, I didn't even know today was Valentine's Day. And you're sweating it right now. You're trying to figure out, how can I tell my wife that I got to be right back? And get them something. We think, but these kids were thinking ahead. It was Thursday. It's like, oh, gosh, I could learn from these kids. I'm like, oh, we got to learn to love and to show that love. The Bible tells us, and we sang it today, love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8 starts out, love never fails. Do you believe that? I believe God's love doesn't fail. I bet there's people in here that have experienced failure in love on a horizontal level. Maybe there's a guy that's hurt you, a woman that's hurt you, a friend that's hurt you. Love can fail when it's not perfect love, when it's not God's love. But God's love will never, ever, 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 ever fail you. And that's the reality, my friends. The love that God shows to us never fails. It's unconditional, right? You can't do anything in this world to separate you from the love of God. Do you believe that? There's no sin you can commit. There's no error that you can make. There's no screw up that you can have in your life when God goes, I don't love you anymore. Never. God's love never fails. And when you get to that place in your life, when you feel like your love is failing, where do you go? You go to God. Say, God, I'm failing in love. I need your unfailing love in my life. It's the only way you're going to be able to love effectively. Young kids in this world, or in this room, if you want to love on your wife the way Christ loved the church, you're going to have his love in your life. Wives, in order for you to submit to your husband, you're going to need the love of God in your heart. You're going to need that. It's important that we realize the love that never fails is his love. See, I believe it's a matter of perspective. When we love on a horizontal plane, we're going to get hurt. We're going to find ourselves disappointed. We're going to find ourselves discouraged. But if we stay in that vertical path, we know that God's love never fails. Oh, I have this. The problem is when in our lives, you ever love something so much and then lose it? Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's something in your life that you lost. That hurts, doesn't it? It's painful. And I have this plaque in my office that says, if love could heal you, you would live forever. Is that true? Can we love someone enough to heal them? Can we love people enough to impact their lives in a positive way? I think so. Love never fails. His love. Three things I want to talk about to you today. His love for you, your love for him, and then your love for others. Very simple, right? His love for you, your love for him, and then your love for others. That's what God calls us to. That's what the Bible tells us. And so what we're talking about is in John 3:16. We know the verse, right? Let's go ahead and look at it. John 3:16 and verse 17. We all probably know it by heart. It's the most popular verse in the Bible. Be good if we memorized it. John 3 and 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 17 is always important when you read verse 16. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so we see very easily in these two verses the picture of the gospel, the salvation that comes because God loved you so much he did something. And do you realize when it comes to love, if you truly love someone, you're going to show them. You're going to do something about it. Love is not just, hey, I love you. It's not just saying it. It's meaning it. It's doing it. It's showing it. It's displaying it. So God so loved the world, he gave. God did something, didn't he? This is one of the greatest things he ever to all mankind. He gave his Son. God loved the world so much that he gave. And he gave the world Jesus so that the world could experience that love. His only Son. Think about that for a minute. I love that it says that in this version. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only son he gave, not his extra son. Do we give like that? Do we give sacrificially, or do we give out of our abundance? Do we give out of our excess? Hey, you can have my old this because I've got a new one, right? Hey, you can have this. I don't use that anymore. I was talking with someone in our church about giving sacrificially, helping others, and to love on someone like you love yourself. Do you ever buy used jeans for yourself? I mean, I understand that. But typically for yourself, you're going to get the best, right? And then you're going to take your old stuff and pass it on. Have you ever thought about buying something new for someone else? Have you ever thought about doing something for someone else the way you would do it for yourself? I think sometimes we can pat ourselves on the back. Man, I'm doing pretty good. I'm getting rid of all my old junk. Is that giving? God gave his only son. God said, this is my only son whom I love, and I'm going to give him to you because I know you need him. That's the reality. That's the kind of depth of God's love for you, that he gave his only begotten son. It was a sacrificial love. 1 Corinthians 13:13, Jacob, hopefully it's there. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love, the greatest. Faith is important, hope is important, love certainly is important, but the greatest is love. Guys, if you have the most amount of faith, if you have the greatest amount of hope, but if you don't have any love, it's worthless. You've got to be motivated by love. What is it in you that motivates you to love? See, we live in a world that's fallen. We live in a world where things don't happen the way we want them, and we get discouraged and we get depressed, and some of you kids in here are like, I don't like my mom, I don't like my parents, I don't like their rules, I don't like homework, I don't like school, and I just don't like life. So Pastor Rob, don't talk about love. One day you're going to need this. One day you're going to want to be loved, and you're going to want to love someone else. The only way you're going to do that is if you have God's love in your life. He gave his only son. His only son. I want to think about three things about God's love. Number one, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, the love of God is practical. The love of God is practical. Notice it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Should not perish. That's a pretty good deal, don't you think? God gave Jesus to die on a cross for you, to forgive you your sins, and to give you access to heaven. And if you simply believe in him, you will not perish. That's practical to me. Let me think about that. If I believe in him, then I get to live forever? That's a pretty good deal. That's practical. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to receive that? And they don't, though, do they? Aren't you glad it doesn't say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that if you love him with all of your heart, if you love him the way he loves you, then he'll let you not perish. Aren't you glad he doesn't say that? It's not conditional on how much you love him or how much you do for him. It's conditional is you believe. That's practical. Number two, it's perpetual. It says, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If I believe in God, if I believe in Jesus, if I put my hope and faith in him, you mean I get to live forever? And I get to experience God's love forever? Isn't that a great thing to know? It's not going to run out. We're not going to get to heaven and go, okay, I got you in. No, I don't love you anymore. No, he says, now I'm going to even show you more how much I love you. See, I paved your streets with gold. You see your mansion over here? That's pretty nice, isn't it? See your neighbor's mansion? They did more for me. Theirs are bigger. It's practical, should not perish. It's perpetual, everlasting love, but it's also personal. It's also personal. Notice it says, gave his only begotten son, that whoever, another translation says, whosoever believes in him. It's personal. It's for you. It's your salvation. Whosoever believes in him, if you just believe in him, it's for you. It's personal. And that's how much God loves you. I think sometimes we back up too much and we say, oh, God loves everybody and he just loves it. No, he loves you. He would have sent Jesus to the cross for you so that you would have life. It's personal. God should be your greatest Valentine because of all he's done for you. And again, love is an action, and God showed by giving Christ. That was the action that he did. believing. It doesn't matter who you are. If you believe, then it is personal because God has saved you from so much. It's important to believe, isn't it? It's important to believe in what God can do. Do you believe God can do the impossible? It was two Wednesdays ago after our Bible study. We pray for each other when we have our Bible study. So at the end, one person wasn't feeling good. Their back was hurting. So when most of the people had left, we said, hey, we anointed the person and we laid hands upon them and prayed for them. And I love when God does this. After we're done praying, she said, wow, my back feels great. I'm like, praise God. The next day, we get texts. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to put hands on me and to pray for me. My back has never felt this good. I was like, praise the Lord. Next Wednesday night, we pray again. Several other people, back pain. I mean, we prayed for, I can't believe it, four or five people were praying for back pain. And then we prayed over another person and prayed over their back. Well, there was another individual in the Bible study whose back hurt, but didn't want to say, hey, would you pray for me? And this is what I love about believing in the power of God. Later that night or the night after, they said, you know what? I don't need Pastor Rob to lay hands on me. I can pray. And I can ask God to heal me. And that so touched my heart because that's the reality. Guys, you don't have to suffer 1 minute longer waiting to get to Pastor Rob or waiting to get to someone else. You can stop right where you are and say, God, heal me. And God loves you so much, it's personal, that he'll go, I will. And I was just so thankful that this person said, oh, I was so sorry and I didn't make it, but I prayed the next day and I'm healed. Praise God. That's the reality. It's personal. You don't need a special position to receive the grace of God as long as you believe in him. That's the love that God has for you. Don't disqualify yourself from God's blessings. Certainly live your life the best you can and be obedient to God. I'm not telling you to live in sin and just trust that God's going to be gracious to you. He cannot bless disobedience, but he certainly can bless obedience. And if you're obedient into believing that his love is unconditional for your life, just like we were saying, God's love is whatever for you, believe that and then receive that power. God's love, okay, I said that. It's practical, it's perpetual, and it's personal, right? But get this, it's not proportional. It's another thing I thought of this morning. It's not proportional. His love for you is not proportional to how much you love him. It's not a scale. Oh, you didn't love me that much, Pastor Rob, this week, so I don't love you that much anymore. No. His love continues to abound. He can't stop loving you, even though maybe we don't love him as much. It's not proportional. I love that. So we see and we know that God's love for us is important. And it's got to start there, don't you think? It's got to start from heaven down to us. We got to receive that love. And once we receive that love, then we're able to love him. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 34. Sorry, my voice is so scratchy. Matthew 22 and verse 34, it says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we see very clearly as this Pharisee or Sadducee comes to Jesus and says, hey, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus, without hesitation, knows he's trying to be tricked, but without hesitation, he says, that's easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love him with all that you are. This is what happens once you've received the love of God in your life. That enables you to love God with all that you are. Again, not a feeling. It's a choice. I choose to love God. You choose to love the Lord. But this is the standard, to love your God. You know what happens when you love the God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? You know what happens? You love everything else in the world less. And that's important because God wants priority. The rest of the things, and I'm not saying you got to stop loving your spouse and stop loving your kids. Don't read into that. But it's saying love God with all that you are, and you'll be fine in all your other relationships. Are you struggling in your relationships? Are you having a hard time loving on spouse or friends, or is it tough? Are you just feeling in that funk? Anybody know what funk means? You just don't feel like it. It's because you're not loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If you love God, if you focus on your love of God, all your other relationships will fall in place. So he loved you, filled you with his love, forgave you, washed you away from your sins, and now you're able to love him back with all that you are, with all that you have within you. But what does it mean to love him? I was talking to someone, I can't remember who it was, the other day. Oh yeah, I was taking a class, and one of the girls in there was saying, I just love the Lord Jesus so much. That's great. I think that's wonderful. But it's got to be more than lip service, doesn't it? Loving God certainly starts by coming to church and worshiping, getting your mind in there, but it's got to go beyond that too, doesn't it? If God so loved the world he gave, then if we're going to love him, then we need to do things for him, don't we? We need to do some things for God. How do you show God you love? Number one, read his word. Right? Pastor Rob always talking about reading the word. Don't you think that's important? It's how you get to know God. It's how we read the word of God so that we know what the word of God says. Do you know the word of God? Please, I pray, beyond Sunday mornings. And the few scriptures that we touch upon on Sunday mornings, please, I pray that you're getting into the Word of God. I know how busy life is. I know how distracted we can get. But if this is not getting inside you, then there's no way you're going to be able to love God right. You're never going to be able to love God properly if His Word is not inside of you. Because His Word will show you how to love Him. So you want to show God you love? Read His Word. Read his word. The psalmist says it this way, for you have magnified your word above your own name. God esteems his word above his own name. His name means his character, who he is. His word is priority to God. It should be a priority to you and to me. And God forgive us when we neglect it. Neglect it. Let me say this. Reading your Bible is more than doing a devotional. I mean, probably many of us in this room read a devotional, and there's a scripture, right? There's one verse and then a whole list of explanation. God forgive us if we think someone's opinion about God's Word is more important than God's Word himself. So doing devotions, I applaud you, continue to do them. But in addition to that, read your Bible. Read your Bible. You ever do a reading plan? Read the Bible in a year. If you follow the reading plan that's in our church app under Bible, you will read the entire Bible in 1 year. And getting the Word in you, getting it in you, it should touch you, it should change you, it'll transform you. That's what His Word does. Jesus said it this way, Jacob, John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are his commandments? They're in his Word. Go find them. Go find them. Don't search Google and say, what are the commandments of God? Tell me what I got to do. It's not a checklist. It's like when God's word speaks to your heart, then do what it says. That's the power of it. I love this. The area we live in, you and I, is called what? The Bible Belt. The Bible Belt. There's more belt than there is Bible, though. Right? A lot of churches should be called the church belt. This is the church belt. Because in a lot of churches, they barely even touch the Bible. See, we need to be a people that are in love with God's Word. And if you are in love with God's Word, you're going to continue to fall in love with God's Word because the Word of God is going to change you. It's contagious. It's an addiction. And that's a good addiction you don't want to get rid of. Can't wait to read my Bible. I can't wait to see what God has to say. Can't wait to read the amazing things that are happening inside God's Word. Read the Bible. Look at this quote. Jacob, put up the Bible. I read this. The Bible has become a moving target. One can strip it down, twist it, misread it, add to it, supplement it, and even overrule it, and unfortunately, 90% of the congregation will not even realize it. Do you have friends that twist the Bible? They say, oh, the Bible says this, or the Bible does that, or the Bible, and you go, oh, really, it does? I didn't know that. Or do you go, it absolutely does not say that. Because when I was reading the other day, this is what I read. We got to know what the Word says in order to combat this. We know the Bible says to itself, don't add to it and don't remove from it. This is sad. Goes on to say, the next one, please. Why? Because Americans no longer know the Bible. The evidence is overpowering that contemporary Christianity is Bible-ish at best, and at worst, in some cases, Bible-less. I'm thankful for a church like Calvary Chapel that wants to read a word that God magnifies above his own name. If it's that important to him, it should be all that more important to us. Get it in you. It will transform you. It will change you. It will encourage you. It will carry you through difficult times. You know, when I read, one of my favorite all-time stories, first Bible study I ever taught from a pulpit was Judges chapter 6 about Gideon and how he fought the battle there with the Midianites and how God said, you've got way too many dudes on your side there, Gideon. You need to ask anybody who's afraid, see who's going to leave, and like 10,000 people left. And I always say Gideon would have left too, but God was talking to him. God whittled that team them down to 300 people against 135,000. How many believe it could have been Gideon against 135,000 and it still would have won? You got God on your side. And what God wants is God wants the glory. God wants us to receive the blessing. He wants to get all the glory. He doesn't want us taking credit. And when you read your Bible, you realize, I'm nothing and God's everything. I'm going to give him the credit because he's awesome. So we read our Bibles, number one. Number two, we talk to God in prayer. Talk to God in prayer. And I'm not talking about, hey, I'm going to set 5 minutes aside or 15 minutes aside, and I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to go through my prayer list. Talk to God all day long. I talk to him constantly. I probably complain a lot constantly to God. He's good with it. He corrects me. Just talk to him all day long. Thank him for things. Thank him for an overcast day where when you get home from church, you can go sleep for a few hours. I'm looking forward to it, I gotta say. Thank him for things. Talk to him. Tell him what's on your heart. He knows already, but tell him anyway. He wants to hear from you. If you're a parent, you want your kids to tell you. You know what they're thinking. You know what they're doing. Do you want them to talk to you? When Jesus was teaching his disciples, when they said, Lord, teach us to pray, he goes, when you pray. He doesn't go, if you pray, or if you squeeze a prayer in your tongue. He goes, when you pray, pray like this. Pray in this kind of fashion. We're to pray. We're to be people of prayer. And the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, right? So that's a conversation that happens all day long. Every moment of every day, just talking to God. Just talking to God. Get in the habit of praying. Don't you think that's a good habit to get into? Be a person of prayer. I think that's great. Not only we're to read his word and we're to pray, the final thing is to practice forgiveness. Sorry, guys. But to practice forgiveness, I mean, he forgives us, does he not? He showed his love by giving his son so that he would forgive us of our sins. We need to be people that forgive, that look at the situations in our life. And let me tell you this, and I've said it a million times, but maybe you haven't heard it this morning. Forgiveness is not giving the other person the right for what they did. Forgiveness is releasing you from the burden of it. When you forgive someone, the load comes off your shoulders. When you truly forgive. When you truly forgive. You haven't truly forgiven if it's still on your mind. One definition of forgiveness I saw once was not being able to think about it anymore. That's true forgiveness. You've forgotten. See, when it comes to God in forgiving you of your sins, what he says, cast your sins as far as east is from the west, right? To the pit, the bottom of the pit, or the bottom of the ocean. And he's like, God isn't like absent-minded. God has chosen not to remember your sin anymore. That's what he's done. And that's what true forgiveness is. And if we're in the habit of praying and if we're in the habit of reading our Bibles, we're going to be in the habit of forgiving others of their wrongs. Excuse me. be a man of forgiveness. Jesus said to Peter, when Peter, you know, Mr. Theological, comes with, Lord, how many times should I forgive someone who sinned against me? 7 times? Jesus says, no, 70 times 7, Peter. And he's basically saying, become a man of forgiveness. Become a man that releases those things, that gives over those things. That's what we need to be, men and women that forgive. God loved you so that you can love him. Are you showing him you love him? There's 3 ways right there I just gave you how you can show God you love him. Because it's not about wearing the cross. It's not about coming to church. It's not about doing anything, but just making sure you're in relationship with him. When God loves us, that causes us to love him, doesn't it? I mean, it's just natural. Once we realize how much God loves us, God, I just love you. Thank you for being so gracious to me. Thank you for being so loving to me. But then it also enables us one more thing, and that's to love others. Look at what it says there when Jesus goes on. In verse 38 again, in Matthew 22, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So God's love for you enables you to love him, which enables you to love others. But don't miss one of the most important things in this verse. Love others, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you love yourself? Good. I know there's some people that probably don't like themselves. They don't like the way they are. They don't like the life that they have. They're in a bad place. But in order to love others the way God tells us to love others the way you love yourself, you have to first love yourself. You have to look at yourself as someone that was of value because God died for you. You are of value because God loves you. You are of value because God sent his son for you. So there's value in your life. Yeah, you might have messed up. Yeah, you might have done some stupid things in your life. Don't get me wrong. We all do. We're all sinners. But we're saved by grace. Love yourself enough because God loves you so that you can love others. And because if you have a low self-esteem of yourself, if you have a low love for yourself, you're not going to love others like yourself. Well, you will, but it won't be very loving. So in order to love people the way God wants you to love them, you got to first love yourself. And how important that is, to love ourselves. If God sees value in your life, there's value in your life. That's important. If you do not love yourself, you will never be able to love others properly. And the reason is you can't give away what you don't have. You cannot give away what you don't have. And honestly, if you don't love yourself, you're kind of contradicting what God is doing to you. God loves you, and you're saying God's wrong. Well, if God loves you, then you need to be loved. You need to love yourself. And as the verse says, and we're going to turn to it in a minute, 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And actually, in that verse, Jacob, could you put that up there? Yeah, there it is. That word, there it is. Jacob, you're good. You could take out the word him. We love because he first loved us. The word him is added in the Bible. In the original language, the word him is not there. So we love because he loves us. We love, certainly love him, but we also should love others. We love because he loved us, because we're loving him with that type of love. Now, let me say this, because it's Valentine's Day, and it's just one of those wonderful things. We got to love each other, be nice to each other, do nice things for each other. Loving each other doesn't mean sometimes you don't have fights. Sometimes it happens, right? And I'm going to share a story with you. Many of you already know. One of my wife and I's worst fights actually has a title. We've titled it The Two Pot Story. The Two Pot Story. If any of you know my wife, whenever we have dinner or whatever she has people over, after dinner, what does she do? Cleans up the entire house. Cleans up the kitchen completely. So this was just like that. We were down in Florida. We had dinner, and it was like a long day. We had dinner. It was late, and she was getting ready to clean up. And I'm like, babe, I worked at the house at the time. I had my own engineering company, and I worked out of my house. I loved it. And so I said, listen, let's just sit down on the couch. Let's just spend some time. I'll take care of the dishes tomorrow. You know where this is going. She goes, okay. So we spend the night. The next day, I'm working in my office, and I'm like, oh, I got to do the dishes. So I get up, I go in, I do all the dishes except two pots. So I put the two, I don't know if I got a call or I'm just like done doing dishes or what, but I was like, yeah, I'll just leave these two pots. I walk away from the kitchen. As God is my witness, I said, I have got to clean these two pots before my wife comes home. Guess who comes home? I don't know what time it was, 5:30, 6 o'clock. She comes home. I'd forgotten about the two pots. She comes into my office, gives me a kiss. She says, I'm going to go out into the garage and work out. We had our gym out in our garage. I said, okay. So she goes and gets dressed. She walks into the kitchen, and across the room, she goes, I thought you were going to do the dishes. You ever have that feeling where the blood rushes out of your entire body? I was like, oh, those two pots. I'm like, I knew it. So I get up, I go into the kitchen, and I proceed to try to start cleaning these two pots with my wife in my ear. You do everything for everybody else, but I say you do one thing, and you won't do it, and you said you would do it, and you didn't do it. Now, me, I'm just sitting there, you're right, you caught me. I wanted to point out that I did every other dish except for the two pots, but I thought it was a bad time. I said, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I forgot. I meant to do it. I kind of told her I did all the dishes. I knew I should have done these two pots. I was like, honey, just go work out. Go exercise. Go out there and work out. I'm trying to clean the pot. And I literally, yes, last week I talked about the water in the sponge. I took the sponge and I squeezed it in her face. I said, if you don't go out into the garage and work out, we're going to have a big problem. So she continued. I'm like, please just go outside and exercise. Finally, she goes out. She starts exercising. And you can verify this. This is not me embellishing the story at all. Her and the Lord had a conversation out in the garage. And she just felt very convicted. And God basically told her, go back in and say you're sorry. She's like, I will not. She's like, I will not. God goes, go back in there and say you're sorry. I will not. And I don't know. I don't remember if she did or not. I don't remember if she did say you're sorry. But here's the thing. I mean, I left out a lot of the story because it was our worst fight ever. And we call it the two pot story because here's the thing. It was two pots. We're fighting over two pots. I know as a husband, I know it's not just the two pots. It's my behavior before the two pots. I get it. But it's the simplest little thing that can spark something. Do we still love each other? Absolutely. And we look at each other and we laugh of the stupid stuff that we fight over. But here's the thing you got to realize. God loves you even though you fight. You love God even though you fight. And you really do love each other. But there's one that wants to destroy that love, and that's the enemy. And if he can leave two pots in a sink, if he can get in, if he can build a wedge in your relationships, he will. The enemy is good at what he does, and we must identify him for who he is. It's just two pots, but it's a story that we can all identify with, and it's one my wife and I have shared many, many times. We will fight. The last thing I want to talk about, have you ever heard of five love languages? Yes. Many of you have. I want to share this in case there's anyone that doesn't. Five love languages, and I want to point out an interesting thing. This gentleman named Gary Chapman came up with this, and there's five different ways that we show love and that we receive love. Very important. How you show love is your natural tendency. Now, you receive love is typically that same one. If you don't know your natural tendency of love, there's a quiz you can take and find it out. It's important for you to know what yours is, and it's also important for you to know what the other person's is. I have these couple of friends. The husband loved to buy extravagant gifts for his spouse. He had the love language of gifts. He loved to buy big gifts for his spouse because he thought that was showing her he loved her. What that showed her, you're wasting our money. It was something that she liked, and it was perfect for her, but she didn't see it at that. His love language was the language of gift, receiving gifts. Hers was words of affirmation. If he would just say, I love you, done. Thank you. I love you. I respect you. I appreciate you. All those things. So make sure that when you show your spouse or the person you're trying to show love, you're showing it to them in their love language, not yours. That's the problem. We tend to want to do it in our own love languages. This is where many fights come in couples' lives. So, you love to receive gifts? My wife is so good about sending cards and sending words of encouragement to me. Because that's my love language. I like to be encouraged. Hers is receiving gifts. I should do that more. Quality time. For some of you, you just want to sit down and watch a movie together. That's showing love. Hanging out. For some of us guys, you're like, oh, that's so boring. Just hanging out. If that's it, find out what it is. Words of affirmation. Okay, encouraging one. Honey, I'm so proud of what you did there the other day. Thank you for cutting the grass, even though you're supposed to. Acts of service, doing something. I thought I was doing a great job cleaning the dishes for my wife, except for those two pots. And then physical touch, guys, we can identify with that one. Mostly. Touch. Hold hands. Put your arm around them. You can go beyond that later today. These are important. These are important. What I want you to do, I think this is helpful for some people in relationships, if you identify these things. This is the last thing I want to talk about. I want you to this week to think of three people that you know who could really use a gesture of God's love. This week, three people, I know it's a lot, shoot for three, who could use a gesture of God's love. Then think of a creative way that you can express God's love to these people and then do it. Three people that you know in your life that just need to have that encouragement. And just do that for them and let them know that God loves them. Because that's what they need to know. We need to know God loves us, and other people need to know God loves us. And because God loves us, we love him, and we want to love on others. So we're going to do it this week. We're going to love on them. Turn with me to 1 John. I think it's chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to close here. First John chapter 4. At least you were close. We're going to pick up at verse 7. 22 times the word love, loved, or loves is in this area of Scripture. Let's pay attention. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Our job as Christians is to love each other and to show the love of God to each other. If we would make that a practice, if we would make the habit of leading with love, looking for opportunities to love others and not wait for those opportunities to come to us, then we'll be displaying the love of God. And that's what people need. That's what you need. That's what I need. And thanks be to God that he loves us so much that he did send Jesus for us. I pray your Valentine is blessed, but I pray you also think about the Lord today. For because of him, you're able to love others. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. We pray your hand of healing upon us, Lord, myself included. That God, we would not succumb to the temptations of the enemy and harbor feelings of bitterness towards one another, but rather be filled with your love in such a way that it pours out of us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for seeing us in our condition and knowing that we needed saving. Thank you for putting inside of us qualities of love, love languages that show and convey love for each other. God, I pray that this Valentine's Day, that your love would abound. That you would fill us to overflow with your love in such a way, Lord, that maybe we would forgive someone that we're holding bitterness towards. That we wouldn't look at this day as just a day to share a card or a gift, but truly just express each other's love to each other. The most important thing that we have, besides our relationship with you, is our relationship with our loved ones. So God, we thank you for loving us. I pray for those who love you, that we would also be loving to others. Be with us as we go. Bless our day. In Jesus' name. Amen.